Hey. I'm Adam. I'm one of the pastors here at Whitewater Christian Church, and it's awesome to be here with you today. If I didn't get a chance to greet you personally, this is it. Hello, everyone. We'll shake hands and kiss babies later. Actually, I've never done that. Kissing babies part, in case you were confused. You guys doing all right this morning? I am running on like literally 2 hours of sleep. So I'm doing awesome. In fact, it was kind of funny to me that worship was invigorating to me this morning. It wasn't at practice, though, which is interesting. You think of practice worshiping, and it's almost like the pre-worship workout, right? You're warm up. I don't know anything about exercising or anything like that, as you can tell, but it's like the pre-workout, and it's sometimes the spirit can be left out of all of that. And it's easy to do. And then it caught up with me live, which was interesting. And I don't know what that is necessarily. But I do know that we can lose the spirit very easily in everything that we do. You hearing me? Maybe some of you have lost that spirit this morning, and you're coming here out of some weird false sense of obligation to God. Because you have to go to church on Sunday, right? Or you came out of here as some weird obligation to your neighbor because they invited you, or maybe you're a student and you're here with your parent and they drug you here and they said, this is the church you're going to go to for the next 4 years. And you're like, I'm never setting foot back in a church in the next 4 years. Do you know how often that happens here? We get glad-handed by parents a lot when students move in, and the students have no intention of ever coming to church after they get out of mom and dad's house. That's just not a thing. I'm going to sleep in on Sundays, right? And they're like, oh, my child, my golden child, my prize. They love to sing and play piano. They'd love to be on the worship band. And the kid's like, nope. I want no part of this, right? Some of you are here because you want to be, and some of you are here because church actually is community for you. Church is a good place for you. Church is where you're finding life. And not just here within these walls, not just here on a Sunday morning. You're finding that throughout the week. You're finding that throughout Lauren's message on giving was insane. I almost just said amen and dropped the mic, and then we're good, right? Well, it's interesting because we are talking, this is the last day for our teaching series in Colossians. And Colossians is talking heavily about this community aspect. We broke out the teaching calendar, and everything was going really swimmingly until I read this week's passage, and I'm like, why did we break this out like this? It's literally Paul saying, goodbye, everyone. Love you. Little hug, big kiss. XO, right? And I'm looking at this thinking, I've got to mine some theological gold out of this. Well, in the Greek, Paul really meant, goodbye, everyone. Little hug, big kiss. Right? There's really not that, there's nothing to it. Check this out in Colossians 4, verses 7 through 18, it says this, my good friend Tychicus will tell you all about me. He is a trusted minister and companion in the service of the Master. I've sent him to you so that you would know how things are with us. Well, how things are with Paul, where's he at? Remember when he wrote this letter? He's in prison, right? So how do you think he's doing? You know, three hots and a cot, is that how it is in prison? Maybe he's working out a lot in the prison workout yard, right? Maybe he's trying to find out what gang to affiliate with. Nothing out of you guys. There's coffee out there. Go drink some, right? So he could encourage you in your faith, and I've sent Onesimus with him. Onesimus is one of you and has become such a trusted and dear brother. Together they will bring you up to date on everything that has been going on here. Those are probably some really scary stories from prison stories, right? Aristarchus. It's behind me, you can read it. Who is in jail here with me sends greetings. Also, Mark, cousin of Barnabas, you received a letter regarding him. If he shows up, welcome him. And also Jesus, not the Jesus that was crucified and rose again and conquered death for us, but it's the one they call Justice. These are the only ones left from the old crowd who have stuck with me in working for God's kingdom. Don't think they haven't been a big help. Epaphras, who is one of you again, says, hello, what a trooper he's been. He's been tireless in his prayers for you, praying that you will stand firm, mature, and confident in everything God wants you to do. I've watched him closely and can report on how hard he has worked for you and those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, good friend and physician, and Demas both send greetings. Say hello to our friends in Laodicea, also to Nympha and the church that meets in her house. After this letter has been read to you, make sure it gets read also in Laodicea, another church. And get the letter that went to Laodicea and have it read to you. And oh yes, tell Archippus, do your best in the job you receive from the master. Do your very best. I'm signing off with my own handwriting, Paul. Remember to pray for me in this jail. Grace be with you. Hugs and kisses, kisses and hugs, hugs and kisses. What does that mean to you? It's just Paul signing off. Ooh, what? Say that really loud, Christine. You have a big, use your big voice. Not big boy, use your big voice. Take care of each other. When I read that, that's what I thought. Other thoughts? Anybody else? Oh, wow. He didn't do it alone. What else? If you're going to go out of this world, what is the most important thing, right? What do you tell people? What's nearest and dear to your heart? What else?
He defined their community.
When I read this, I thought, it takes everyone. It takes everyone. And it didn't matter who. And if we saw these people's lives personally, we'd probably be very unimpressed. Right? Because they probably look like us. Because we're super impressive, right? What? Did I hear a yes? Duh. Check this out. They probably look like us. They're probably just ordinary, everyday people that God's moving through. Or that God desires to move through. They're probably ordinary people just like us who say no to him. I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. You don't understand how I work and how I get recharged. It's by not being in community with anyone. You laugh because you're one of those people. If you notice, Craig will split out of here as fast as he can after church. And this is no joke because the gathering wears him out. And it's not because he doesn't love you. It's not because he hates your guts. Some of you, that's probably true. I'm just throwing you under the bus, buddy. Yeah, send every angry piece of mail to Craig. But it's because he needs to recharge his batteries. And it's interesting because Louise is the polar opposite. Louise would rather just have you all invited over to the house and sit on his bed while he naps, telling stories all around him, right? And some of us can't get enough of community. Some of you are like me, and if there are people, so when the sun comes up, except for today when I've only had 2 hours of sleep, you're thinking you're missing out on something, right? You got to get where the people are. There's got to be people outside. It was weird. I rode my motorcycle today, and I don't know if this was like National Elderly People Walk Around Town Day, but I got to the office a little earlier than I normally do, and I could not believe how many old people were walking their dogs, and they all converged kind of around the Bidal area. And they were coming at me from every direction. And they're looking at me like I should stop. I'm like, you're not even in a crosswalk. But I knew. And so I stopped and we all hung out and had coffee and donuts. It was amazing. That's a lie. But it takes all of us. Everything that you guys just said is completely true. The problem is that we'll come here, and we've been talking about this quite a bit in the office, we'll come here and we'll converge, and everybody's welcome here, right? Is there any denying that we would not welcome anyone or anything or whatever your thing is here? We'll welcome you here. We'll hang out with you here on a Sunday, but there's a lot of us that that's where it stops. There's a lot of us that that's where it just quits and falls flat, and we talk a good game about how Whitewater is so inclusive and so welcoming. And we go to our cars by ourselves and go to the restaurants by ourselves or home by ourselves, and we never have anything to do with community ever again here until next Sunday when we're inclusive again. Right? And Paul, in his goodbye letter, I don't know if he was even thinking about this as he's writing these goodbyes, he's challenging every piece of this, is what I read. He's challenging every piece and every person, because this is going out to churches, not just these people. It's going there. He's saying, hey, take this letter and give it to this other church. This is good information for them. Take the information that I gave them. It's good information for you. And let's start living this out together. Let's start doing this together. But so often we want to internalize and personalize every piece of our faith like God just did it for us. It's just between He and I. How many of you have said that? Some of us get very uncomfortable when it comes to living in community with one another, and I'm not talking about socialism 100%. I'm not saying sell all your possessions and let's all go buy the Connor Hotel and live there together. You would kill me. You'd hate me. I'm not proposing anything like that. What I am proposing is that you making yourselves available to the things that God has already called you to. And stop acting like He didn't. Stop acting like it's for everybody else but you. Stop acting like your busy schedule bars you from that. Your busy schedule is heaped on you because you chose it. Your busy schedule is because of your own doing. And I know that, and we can say a lot of yes to a lot of great things that aren't anything that we need to be a part of. But it makes us feel good, right? Makes us feel Jesus-y. Makes us feel like we gave something. I gave at the office, right? And still be isolated. Still be completely isolated from the community that Jesus is calling us into. How He's asked us to live. How He's asked us to be with one another. How He's asked us to take care of one another. How He's asked us to live our lives in such a way that at the end, these are the kind of letters we can write to one another. Look, these are the important things in life. None of this other BS that you got going on is anything compared to the life in Jesus. And life of taking one another. Taking care of one another. Jeff Parkins posted, Jeff's one of your elders, he's back on the soundboard, and he's wearing a hat. I don't even think he took it off when we prayed, so I'm just kidding. That's not a thing here, all right? That's not a thing here. He's back at the sound booth, he's wearing a hat. He posted this incredible quote, and I want to read it to you. And it's out of the book Church Unique by Will Mancini. And if you don't know this already, the leadership here at the church, with the help of you, there was about 13 of us sitting in a room. We went through Will Mancini's book called God Dreams together. And what God Dreams does is it gives us short-term, mid-range, and long-range goals. And it's sad to say that if you don't have those things, you're going to hit nothing every time, right? If you're aiming at nothing, you're going to hit nothing. And I, by the seat of my pants kind of guy, I hate that. We'll get there when we get there. What are we going to do? I don't care. Are there people there? That's all I need to know. Can we afford it? I don't care. Right? So this actually makes us put things on paper, and this actually makes us do critical thinking. Well, he wrote a book prior to that called Church Unique, and we probably need to be reading that one here too. But Will Mancini is talking about this church. Anybody familiar with Bill Hybels? Okay, he's a big name. Willow Creek Community, big church. They do a lot of good. I don't know as I would attend that church personally, because flavor-wise, I like pizza, right? And that's what we do selfishly as churchgoers, right? We pick and choose. It's a buffet. Don't lie. The only reason I come to this church is because of the music. The only reason I go to this church is because of solid teaching. The only reason I go to this church is because my pastor has tattoos. I've heard these things before, and I'm like, aim higher. Aim higher. How about theologically sound? Anybody? Like, how about, like, it's crazy. But in this book, this little section says this: the Willow Creek Community Church strategy was made popular through the increasing attendance at Willow's conferences. Okay, so they throw these big summits, and actually they just had one last week, or this week, just a few days ago. They had a big global summit is what they call it, and they broadcast it now to all these different churches. They had one in Cheyenne at my buddy's church, and this is what they're doing. So through increasing attendance at Willow's conferences, starting in the 1990s, I was 10, okay? It's a good year. Starting in the 1990s and continuing today, the first three steps of the strategy were build a relationship with the unchurched, share a verbal witness. This is all really good stuff. And invite to a seeker service. At their August 2007 Leadership Summit, they announced the results of a significant study in a book titled Reveal, which exposed the need to revisit their strategy. The pivotal discovery is articulated as, involvement in church activity does not predict or drive long-term spiritual growth. Can I read that again? I don't think you heard it. Involvement in church activities does not predict or drive long-term spiritual growth. Goes on to say, I appreciate the way Willow Creek has been transparent in sharing what they are learning. As they rethink their strategy, they admit freely that their vision for a new strategy is still developing. One observation that guides their current thinking is the desire to move people from dependence on the church to a growing interdependent partnership with the church. Can I read that again? One observation that guides their current thinking is the desire to move people from dependence on the church to a growing interdependent partnership with the church. Interdependent means we do this thing together. You don't come here because you have a need. Churches fill needs, right? But some of you have never got past that stage. Whitewater, I'm talking to you, man, the heartbeat. Some of you have never got past that stage. Some of you just come because of what you get. Some of you come and you abuse financially the church's resources. It's quiet. It's quiet. Some of you come and abuse other people, because you're so dependent on them. You're so dependent on what you can get instead of what you can give. And do this thing together. One of the questions, if you ever meet with Craig Johnson, you'll understand, he says this. Usually it's the first time he meets you. What are you willing to give to the church? What are you looking to get from the church is what his first question is. And he's not talking to And what are you willing to give is his next question. What are you willing to get, or what are you wanting to get, and what are you willing to give? And he's not talking financial. That's awesome if you do give money. We like money. Yeah? Money keeps us in this cool place. Money keeps us being able to do what we do in foreign missions, here locally, throughout the world. What we're able to do with you guys, what we're able to do with Interfaith, what we're able to do with Safe Project, what we're able to do in the soup kitchen, what we're able to do everywhere, is driven by that money, but he's not talking about money. He's talking about what's your part, what's your place here? What are you willing to give? Who are you that God has created so uniquely and so wonderfully made and so beautiful Who are you and what are you bringing to the table here? Well, you know, I figured I just would just sit and not do anything. Go somewhere else. I'm serious. There's many other churches that would love to have you just so they can count you. We don't want you. I didn't figure this was going to get this heavy. God has made you and created you very uniquely to serve the body in only the way that you can. That's it. To be in community with everybody else in only the way that you can. And you will rob God of that time and time again, week in, week out, day in, day out, by saying no to the things that matter and yes to everything that doesn't. Because it's what you want to do. Right? This is the DNA. This is the makeup. It's not saying this is something you get and you earn later. This is saying this is who you are. This is it. That's all you have. God gave it to you. He created you with it. He born it in your soul, in your heart. And you would rob us of it. Rob him of it. No, you won't. Not here. If you want to do that, go somewhere else. You want to get real, you want to get raw, you want to chase after Jesus, this is your place. You want to be who God created you to be, quit playing games with him, this is your place. You want to be taken care of, so do I, this is your place. You want to have community, so do I, this is your place. You want to know what it is to be loved, this is your place. Man, I really didn't expect this to get this heavy. I have no notes. I have a quote from Jeff from Facebook. That's all I have. That's all I have. This is your place. This is what you're throwing into. This is what you're agreeing to by coming here. We don't have membership. We don't have you sign membership cards. We don't have you transfer membership, whatever that is, from another church when you come here. We don't give you, you're not card-carrying members. We don't have cool jackets. Okay. But what we have is community that God offers, every single one of us. What we have is scripture that guides us in that. What we have is the inborn DNA that God has already placed in us, and we just want to unlock that, and we just want to see you rise to your full potential. We want to see us together as Whitewater rise to our full potential as a whole, as a unit. You're going to be hearing more about this and more about this and more about this because we have a God dream here. We have a God dream. And that God dream includes church growth, whatever, numerically. That God dream includes really big things like people coming to know Jesus in a way, in a rate that we haven't seen here yet. But it's not coming from me. It's going to come from us. It's not coming from Craig, it's going to come from us. It's not coming from your eldership here at the church, it's going to come from us. Because you're going to stop playing games. I'm going to stop playing games. We're going to believe what God has already told us. We're going to put into practice those things. And if you're not willing to, honestly, please just go. But if you're willing to chase after Jesus, this is your place because that has been the call on every one of your lives. To live like Jesus, to be like Jesus, to give away this very thing that you have, that you find such comfort and joy and well-being in. Why would you want to hold that and keep that only to you? This is for your neighbors. This is for your parents. This is for your children. I wasn't choked up about children. I have a really dry throat right now. I love my kids, but this is for your children. This is for your aunts and uncles. This is for your family. This is for the people that you work with. But it's got to start with you. Are you ready? God, speak more about this to us today. Speak more about this to us throughout the week. Father, where we're holding back and playing it safe with the things that you've given us, where we are refusing to engage community in the way that you have called us to, all of us, not just some of us, if we are holding back the beautiful nature of who you have created us to be and how you've created us to be and how you've called us specifically, each one of us individually, to love the community here and be a part of the community here, unlock that, God. May we relinquish that to you and hold nothing back for ourselves. May we just give you all of it, because you're going to take it and do way better things with it than we ever could. God, help us to see one another as you see us. Give us your eyes to see the person sitting right next to us, the rows in front of us, the rows behind us, that we would engage each other in such a way that would just bring praise. From your angels in heaven. God, in a way that would bring praise from this community, not pats on the back, but legitimate praise to see you as you are, God. That people would see you as you are through our interactions with one another here, with our interactions with one another outside of these walls, with our interactions with our family and neighbors and business people and everything else that we do everywhere we go. God, give us that. No turning back. Thank you for this God dream. Catch everybody else up with it. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.